All right. We have a very special guest on today. The very first female guest of the Industrialists or any of any podcast we've done so far. She is a mom. She's a business owner, entrepreneur, straight hustler, and probably I'd say my first fan in my mom's and my wife's group of friends since day one. And Miss Monica Pittenger.
Hi guys. I agree to everything he just said.
All right.
That doesn't happen very often.
Oh, come on. You usually buy into most bullshit I say. So
that's true.
But no, it's great to have you here today.
It's great to be here. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little bit nervous. You never know what Jeremy's gonna ask. I've known him longer than I've known my husband, and we've been married 22 years. So yeah. That's a long time.
It is a long time. So, I like to always tell Tammany that you've always been my biggest supporter when we first started dating.
I have. And Tam's here. You can't see her. She's hiding over there. But yeah. I have always been their biggest supporter back in college. You want me to tell that story?
Yeah, we'll get there. Just hold on.
I love that story. I tell anybody.
No, we're getting there. So just let me run this show. All right.
I'll try. No promises.
So Monica, she lives in Prosper where we live. Our sons play sports together. We're kind of always together. It's kind of funny. It's just been a journey in life since we were 20 years old, essentially, or 21 years old. Monica owns a very unique company and very clever company, I think, called Wash Yourself that she owns and operates. Why don't you just start at the beginning? Where's Monica from? Where did Monica grow up?
Start from the very beginning.
Yeah, let's hear it all.
Sugarland, Texas.
All right.
Where Tam was, but I didn't meet Tam until college. And Tam is Jeremy's husband. I think all y'all
Jeremy's
know that.
Jeremy's wife.
I grew up in Sugarland, went to Tech, graduated from Tech, started teaching.
Okay.
Hold on. Am I going too fast?
We want to get in. So you grew up in Sugarland. Okay. What'd you do in high school? What activities were you in?
I did it all. Here's a good one. I did cheer. I did varsity softball. I made it my freshman year. I lettered.
Okay.
I played that sport because the kids in the neighborhood played softball. And so I loved it because that's just what we played, like the mailboxes, first base, second base, third base were our plates. And so I played softball. That was my favorite sport. I did volleyball in high school as well. So volleyball, softball, and cheerleading. But I was the best at softball because I practiced it more just because that's what we did on the streets. Sounds funny saying that. But from there, I got any full ride you can imagine to college, but I didn't take any. And my dad said that didn't bother him, but he mentioned it in my wedding speech, so I think it did.
Full ride for sports or
for softball? Anywhere, softball. Any D1 offer, anywhere. It was back in the Title IX where they had to give the same number of scholarships to female as males.
Okay.
And they didn't have as clever way around it, so they were just throwing scholarships at us. But
so you didn't want to go play though?
No.
Yeah.
I had taken up most of my life. We'd won state the year before. I mean, it was very competitive and the traveling and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I did that because my middle son plays baseball and I get to play catch with him all the time. So it's my favorite.
Yeah.
So it was worth it. So those are my sports. Student-wise, I was okay in high school. I'd like to have more fun than to study.
Okay. What about your siblings?
My siblings. Okay. I have an older sister. Her name is Julie. She's only 18 months older than me. And we're like night and day.
Mm-hmm.
We are. She's great. The best sister you can ask for, but we're completely different. She's a chemical engineer. She actually was the youngest executive at Exxon for a while.
Wow.
Youngest female executive at Exxon, I should say. And she just keeps climbing every year. So she's still with that company. She's been with them since she graduated college. She's still with them. And then my little brother, Joe, is one of my favorite humans. He's an ICU pulmonary specialist, so he's a doctor. He's a gymnast, went to the Naval Academy, then went to A&M, and then went to Tech for med school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where did Julie go to school?
Julie went to Tech.
Okay, Julie went to
Tech. Yeah, she was the president of the chemical engineering department.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so why did Julie go to Tech? How did you end up at Tech? What led you down that path?
Okay. Julie went to Tech because, I mean, the honest story is she was dyslexic and she was scared to apply for other colleges. So she picked Tech and she did great. I mean, gave her career. And I went to Tech because my sister was there.
Okay.
I mean, easy as that. I wanted to go to be with her. As different as we were, I felt that felt like security.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you go to Tech.
Mm-hmm.
You majored in finance.
I did.
That's kind of where we ran into each other.
That is.
So
That's the story.
I'll let you get into this story. So Monica and I met. We had accounting together.
We did. We had a few classes, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sure we ran past more than we even realized, too.
But I just sat next to you in accounting. I don't know why. I didn't know you, really, but that's where I met you. And so I'll let you tell the story from here.
Okay. So by the time I got to college, I was more studious. I was a little bit of a nerd because my dad had this thing. I had to have a certain GPA to keep my car. And so I wanted to keep my car. So I had to earn that GPA. And then he realized, I don't know, like the more restrictions he put on me or the more expectations he put on me, I kept leveling up and meeting them. So then he said, well, if you don't get an A, then you have to pay for your class. So then I got all A's. So it was like funny how that kind of worked. But in this particular class in accounting, I like to sit in the front row so I could take notes. So I'd always sit somewhere towards the front and I would always get there on time. And on this day, Jeremy sits on one side of me and then his football buddy sits on another side of me. And then he has some buddies behind me and I just sit down and I'm looking around like, why are these dudes sitting so close up front at the classroom?
To cheat off you.
Yeah. When there's all these other classes, when there's all these other seats open, no, they're not going to want to sit in front row. Well, he sits down and he's like, hey, your friend Tammany. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I like her. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that was the whole preface. He wanted to talk to me about Tam. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, what about her? And he was like, yeah, she's great. And he was saying all the sweetest things about her. And that's why I was the biggest fan at the beginning. And then he said, I'm taking her skiing next weekend. So I said, oh yeah, she's told me all about you. You're the beta she's told me all about. And he goes, nope, I'm not that beta. Apparently she was going skiing the following weekend with the beta.
Yeah.
The weekend before with Jeremy. And she had never mentioned him.
That was a long hour of class for me at that point.
You didn't stay through the whole class.
It was rage. It was raging.
He took off and left and went home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there like, I should go call her and give her a heads up, but I got to finish my class first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I leave and I call her. You leave first. And your buddies were like, damn, you did him wrong. And I'm like, I didn't know. So you leave. And then I go home and I call Tam and she was upset with me. She's like, I really like him. I'm like, but you never told me about him.
Yeah.
But that was a good thing. I think I think that's what made you work harder.
I had to work harder for it. Come on. I had some very good qualities about myself, too.
No, yeah. Well, so. How you treated her and how you talked about her were the reason I was your biggest fan from the beginning. And I didn't want to be the one that messed it up either.
No, I would say I was probably not the, I didn't kind of fit in the box, I would say, of a lot of the guys y'all were, that were kind of around
you
y'all.
Still don't fit in the box.
No.
It's a good thing.
Probably not. So. Yeah. It's worked out, I guess, for me.
Yeah,
so.
You're playing country music, covered in tats, listening to heavy metal and signing a contract.
Yeah.
People, don't forget about the yoga.
Yeah, it's funny. People always tell me, they're like, hey, have you heard of this guy? And they'll tell me country artists. I'm like, hey, listen, I don't listen to country music. They're like, what? And I'm like, no, I can't stand it.
No, just sing it.
So that's why I try to add as much rock into that stuff as I can. So, okay, so you go to Tech to get a finance degree. What was the plan?
Okay. Honestly, the plan was I wanted to be a teacher, but my dad said he wouldn't pay for a teaching education because he wanted me to have something to fall back on. And he didn't think that would be a good process.
What did your dad do?
Oil.
Okay.
Yeah. He was like the CFO of Schlumberger. And then he started.
That's a tiny oil company.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then after that, he started doing his own. So he's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah. So now he's like a silent investor and partners and that kind of stuff in the oil industry.
Okay.
So he thought that if I was going to be a teacher, that I was my mom's a teacher, but he thought that I was doing it just because my mom's a teacher and that I was settling and I wasn't going to push myself. So he said, if you go to college and you get another degree like finance or business, you'll always have that to fall back on. And then if you're serious about being a teacher afterwards, I'll pay for your master's and your education to become a teacher as long as you have this other degree.
So I feel like people that go into teaching, it always, it kind of flows down from the parent level.
Yeah.
Bella, you probably agree with that, right? Like Bella was on the path to become a teacher. And then I was like,
yeah,
come try this for a while.
Right.
And,
It's because you see what you know. And I always said at 17, you're supposed to pick what you want to do for the rest of your life. I didn't even know what I wanted for dinner that night. So how am I supposed to know? So you see that and you know that. And I saw my mom doing it and she was happy. And so it's a great career. So that just came to my head real quick. I'll be a teacher because I didn't know what I wanted to be yet.
She was also happy because your dad's the CFO at Schlumberger and she can teach and it makes teaching a lot easier.
Right.
No. But you know, I mean, teaching is a very hard job.
I did that 7 years and I coached cheer while I taught. So I was a middle school cheer coach and seventh grade teacher.
But you went and got your master's.
I went and got my master's.
Okay.
And education. So I got my business degree in finance and I got my master's at night while I was teaching in education administration.
Okay. Where did you teach school at?
Carpenter Middle School in Plano. Well, Plano. 2 years in A-Leaf in Houston and then 5 years at Carpenter Middle School in Plano.
Okay, wait a second. So, okay. Now you met Kyle.
I met Kyle in my first year in college as well in business school. See, that's why I had to go do the business major.
Yeah. There you go. Go teach. Uh-huh. So, did y'all move to Houston? It's like I can't even remember.
Yeah, we did. Then. We lived in Houston for 2 years after college.
Okay.
And then after, it's a whole another long story, but after September 11th and his Morgan Stanley career. And he sat it out, I guess, worked for his goal for that year. And everything was just different with the company after he got a job offer and we moved here. So we worked, I guess, for a year in Houston. And then we knew we were leaving that following year. He left before I did. Like we were separated a full year.
So talk about September 11th. Okay. That's a pretty interesting story.
That is one. I guess Kyle and I were 3 months married and I was in Houston at a pretty rough school teaching. I'm like, this is married life. This isn't fun. I'm like, grown up all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So he was studying, he passed it. And then he was going to New York it was supposed to be an entire month of training. And since we were married, I think we got $23 on our checking account when we were married. And so, and that's after like all of our gifts and things, paying for our down payment on our apartment and things like that. So he goes to New York and he's supposed to be there a full month. And I went to my principal and I asked her, I said, hey, can I take Friday off of school for a honeymoon? I'm going to meet my husband up in New York for an extended weekend because we've never had a honeymoon. And I don't know how to do a absent request yet. I'd only been there, whatever. And she said, well, I get it. She was so sweet. She's like, technically, you're a new teacher. You're not allowed to take off yet.
Yeah.
And that's, you shouldn't tell me that. Like, I was too, I gave her too much information. Apparently, I'm supposed to just call in sick.
Yeah.
So she's like, let's pretend like we never had this conversation Thursday night, call in sick, type deal. So sweet about it. Really understanding. So she knew that I was going to go to New York to visit Kyle that Friday. So when September 11th happened on a Tuesday, she knew he was there. And so I get to school in the morning and she comes into my classroom with my mentor at the time because I wasn't a completely certified teacher yet. So I had to have a mentor. I was in the process of getting my certification, which you can teach under that. And then I had my best friend that was going through the program with me at the time in there, and then my principal, and then my teaching partner, and they all come in the room. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, what did I do wrong? Did I say something inappropriate?
This was before OnlyFans.
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
I don't have one of those.
No, I know. But like, that's what teachers get removed for these days.
I mean, that's not it. It's so hard to get rid of them.
Yeah.
No. So they come in there and they sit me down and I'm thinking, like, I can feel my heart racing. And they're like, hey, just wanted to check in on you. Where's Kyle? I'm like, New York. You know, like, did I say something wrong with my absent? Did I do? And then she said, where exactly in New York? And I said, I'm not sure today. I said, either the exchange floor, or the Twin Towers. So they're all looking at me kind of funny. And I said, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. You know, like, they're like, well, why don't you call him and check on him? And I'm like, can someone tell me what's happening? Because I had no TV in my classroom.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to wheel him in. And so she said, well, just call him and check on him. So I said, okay. So I pick up my phone in my classroom to call him. And I'm shaking and I can barely remember his phone number. So I'm like, I just need my cell phone didn't work inside of the thing. And so I needed to step out. And so he's not answering. So I'm like, well, someone please tell me what's going on. And they said, well, we don't want to concern you, but the tower has fallen. And so we kind of go back.
Wait, did you know a plane had even hit it yet?
No. They kind of back up and they said there was a terrorist attack. A plane hit the tower and it fallen. And we just want to make sure he's not there. I'm surely he's not there. And I'm like, well, he's either on the exchange floor or one of the Twin Towers. Like, yeah. That's where he's going to be for the next month.
Yeah.
So we go into my principal's office and I am not sure what to do. And they're like, well, who do you want us to call? I'm like, I don't know. So my principal was so good. She went through, it was back when you had cards, people's cards. Yeah. So she went through the cards and started looking through them. And she's like, who's this? Who's this? And I'm really like, oh, that's my sister. So she calls my sister and my sister, they have to page her. And they're like, she's in shutting down Exxon right now. Like, we can't get to her because we're in a crisis mode shutting down Exxon. And she said, I'm sitting here with her baby sister and we can't find her husband. And so within 30 minutes, my sister was there. Like, she just dropped her whole job and showed up. So she was the first person to show up. I knew it wasn't good because my dad was calling me and he had rung the bell on the exchange floors and things before. So he had all his people looking around for Kyle and they had confirmation he was in the second tower on the 60th floor. Like, they knew all 62nd floor. I don't want to say the facts wrong. Somewhere at 60th floor. They knew he was up in there and they knew they couldn't get a hold of him. And then they knew the tower had fallen. So we're just sitting there. And it was one of those days that, like, I can tell you that when my principal gave me a piece of chocolate trying to, like, calm me, that it tasted like dirt. Yeah. I could tell you exactly what I was wearing. I could tell you exactly what she was wearing. Kyle's mom then showed up at the office next and said the second tower now had fallen. So then we head back to my apartment. We check messages. There's no messages. So then my sister and I load up and we're heading to the Pittengers just to kind of sit and wait. I'm like, I was saying, I don't even know what we're going to do there.
Do?
Like, there's nothing you can do. My dad was doing stuff behind the scenes, trying to get more answers and find things. We found him on a casualty list that they listed out because at the time they listed everyone for Morgan Stanley because they knew what floor it was on. And then I don't know what felt like 50 hours later, but it was that same afternoon he calls and he's like, hey, what's happening in New York? Because he had no idea. He was on the 62nd tower when the first plane hit. So they started evacuating the towers and he was on his way down and he was on the 40th floor when the plane hit. So his was the second tower to get hit, but the first tower to fall. So when he saw the first one, he didn't see it get hit. He just saw what he described as confetti coming out of the first tower.
Yeah.
And he was confused on what happened. And like I told you at the beginning, we had like $23 in our checking account. So he said he was on a break room floor and his bag and suitcase and every penny that we used to buy him a new briefcase was on the floor above with his new computer. So he was going to go up and get it. Because that's everything we had at the time. And he was with somebody that said, no, I was here for the bombing. Just leave it. So he left his new laptop and bag and we walked down, which saved him. Because if he would have gone up to get it, he would have been where he would have gotten hit.
Mm-hmm.
So Morgan Stanley did great. They've got everybody out of there. Then he had to walk across the bridge. And he stayed at a house with some other people in his that had parents that lived nearby. And then that's when he could finally call. So
that was in the afternoon?
Yeah. So there was no cell service back then. The tower, when it fell, all cell service went out.
All phone service went out. Hardline went out. Because I used to call New Jersey all the time. And I was trying to call New Jersey that day and I couldn't get through to anybody.
Yeah. When when the tower fell, it had like the big cell tower on it. That was that. So that was it. It takes him about a week to get home because they canceled all flights. He got on a train. He was just trying to get closer to home as he could. And they pulled the train up, or they stopped the train and arrested two terrorists on the train. So there's a lot more to that day than I think we all know.
But, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very...
That's a long story.
Crazy account. Yeah. But, you know, it's something unique. Yes. You know?
And then, so after that, we were living in Houston. We moved to Dallas for a new job, a new career, a new start.
So y'all moved to Dallas.
Mm-hmm. We moved to Dallas. I told him I'd move to Dallas if I could get a little dog in a house. So I got a little dog in a house. Wiser.
Okay, so you're teaching up in Dallas.
Yes.
All that.
Yes.
And
5 years at Carpenter Middle School in Plano.
Mm-hmm.
And I am teaching there and working, going to school full time. I earned my master's. Pregnant with Keller. I have Keller and I'm still teaching. So Keller's my oldest. And then I get pregnant with Brady. So I have to decide if I want to either become a principal, because you can't teach and have two kids in daycare because it's awash with the money.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So either I'm going to go and be an administrator or I am going to quit. And I'm trying to decide which route to go. And in that time, since I had just finished my master's in education administration, I had my degree that I could be an administrator. My administrator went out for maternity leave. So they had me step in as administrator. And I think that was the best gift ever because I realized how much I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I did. Everyone was mad at you. The teachers were mad because the kid was in trouble. And the kid was mad because he was mad at the teacher. And then the parents were mad because they were mad at the kid when you called them. And then the teacher was sometimes mad because the punishment wasn't strict enough. And then the kid was mad because they got in trouble by their parents. So it was like, I didn't like it. I didn't like that aspect of it. So that helped me make my mind up on what route to go. And I decided to stay home. And then I had Cade, my third one, to seal the deal so I didn't have to go back to work for a while.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's my second chapter. I was home. I was an at-home mom for years.
Okay, so you're an at-home mom for years, but then you got the itch, I guess, the entrepreneurial itch?
Yeah, kind of. It was like, now what? So my sisters and I were like feeling like, we kind of, even though one isn't, I say my sister's, my brother's wife.
Yeah, Katie's.
Yeah, Katie.
Also kind of considered your sister, but your sister-in-law.
My sister-in-law, she's an OBGYN. And even though she has that career, my sister an engineer, like we just felt like you're kind of losing yourself. Like you just wake up and do the same routine over and over again. And you put everybody's priorities in front of yours. And you just start to break a little. And so my sisters and I would like, my first company was called Busy Beauties. And we just decided that like the products that we liked between the OBGYN and the chemical engineer, some of the stuff on the market's not great. So we decided to make our own and it was great. And we did that for years. And with that knowledge, I started reading labels a lot more of like what they actually put in stuff. Like to be completely honest, when we formed that company, my sisters were the driving force on the ingredients on things because I didn't have that background.
Yeah.
But as I owned that company and the years went past, I really was concerned about the ingredients we consume or that we rub on ourselves. I mean, your skin's the biggest organ.
Biggest what?
What? You see this guy?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So
back to your skin.
Yeah, back to my skin. So we decided to, so with that, all three of my boys are in athletics and they are nasty because here, I don't know, is it how all the schools are, but why don't they let them shower in middle school? I don't get that.
I don't know that they don't let them shower. I just think boys are at an awkward time in their life and they're just kind of like,
it's gross though.
I don't know if I want to go get in the shower.
I get it. But even they say by then there's three shower heads. There's 150 boys. They practice in the Texas summer heat for like 2 hours before school, And then they just go to class.
Yeah.
And there's no way that they all can shower. And they use it. I mean, my boys, I don't know if they're just fibbing or not. They said they use it, the showers, for storage anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no... And then they don't give them enough time. They have 5 minutes to get dressed. So I think it's gross.
I don't really remember people taking showers in junior high.
No. I mean, I get it. They're awkward at that age.
Yeah.
But with that, and being a middle school teacher back in the day, I did not want my kids to be the stinky ones. So that's where Wash Yourself came from. I knew there was always the stinky. I just did not want my kids to be the stinky kid.
So is Wash Yourself, yo, is it yourself or yourself?
Yo,
Y-O.
Yo. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Wash yourself.
Define that. So is that you and your sisters, or is that just you now?
It's me and my sisters, because that's just how we do things. But it was 100% my idea, my convincing them to do it.
Yeah.
And I found the lab. I created the product. Now, I did get input with them for like some of the ingredients, because we wanted to keep it as clean as we could. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it came. Like, I think everything happens for a reason, like just the buildup with everything. Like, I had to be a teacher to want to make sure my kids stay clean and hygienic at school.
Yeah.
I had to have the busy beauty background to understand the ingredients and the importance of it. And so what happens is, after they were working out and they're not showering and they're going to class and their pores are exposed, you can't rub just anything on their skin because it'll irritate it. It'll increase the acne. And one of my sons was dealing with acne at the time, and I just wanted to help. And I kept trying to find things on the market that were clean and soothing and wouldn't damage the pores. Like, you can put alcohol on that. And most of the wipes have alcohol in it after a workout.
Yeah.
So I wanted something clean, like with aloe and witch hazel, so it could soothe it and clean it. And I wanted all natural ingredients. I didn't want any. I know every now and then someone says, are you going to make one that smells like vanilla, or one that smells like, no, anytime you put something like that in it, then you have to put chemicals in it so it lasts longer on the shelf life. And it's just, it's not worth it, the integrity of the product. Like, when you're done cleaning up, put some deodorant on yourself. Like, you know, like, we don't want to mix that in there and make it too complicated. Or it's just, it's not as good of an ingredient, so, or a product. So that's kind of where that started. I just wanted to find, I kept reading and reading labels of all the popular wipes that are out there. And everything had just ingredients that you wouldn't want to put on yourself, let alone your child, if you really started to learn about them. And so with that, I decided to make my own. So I would like mix some ingredients in a little Ziploc bag with paper towels for them to take to school. And apparently they would not use those because that was embarrassing. And so I was like, well, I'm going to make something cool, because there's definitely a need for this. And we need something that's made in America.
Yeah.
Ingredients I trust, and that can solve this problem that I have. And then there came Wash Yourself 3 years ago, almost to this day.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. You did just have your 3-year mm-hmm. anniversary. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, okay. So what did you learn in Busy Beauties that, what were your mistakes in Busy Beauties that you applied to Wash Yourself to avoid?
Well, there was a lot of them. That was my first company, so I don't know what I was doing.
Sure.
And then the second one was, we launched way too many products at first. You're supposed to start, when you have a new concept and a new idea, you start with one or two products and then you go from there. With launching so many products at one time, you couldn't buy up the amount of inventory you needed to get the cost down, for one thing. When you develop those formulas and those products, it takes about a year for each product at least before you have it in hand. Because there's a lot of trials and there's a lot of back and forth. Just because you know ingredients and what you want in it, when you get it out, it could be soupy or sticky or not, just not what you're looking for. So there's a lot of back and forth.
It's a lot of prototyping.
A lot.
So, I mean, I used to do so many prototypes at the steel company.
Oh, I bet.
Like, I mean, and we were prototyping for, large, Siemens, people like that. Like, even, unlimited resources and all the engineers in the world, and they would give us something, we would build it, and be like, well, your prototype doesn't work. You built it wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's
just
a lot.
Because you have the idea doesn't mean it's going to look well or serve well or do its job.
Right.
Yeah, no, there's more to it.
It's all theory versus application.
Yes.
Manufacturing is it's a very trial and error business. And,
yes.
Getting it right can take a while.
And so with products, like, if you heat something to the wrong level, then it kills all the benefits of the product. but it might make it feel softer on your skin at the right. time, but you're not going to benefit from it. So no, we're not going to go that route. Let's go back to the drawing board and find out how to keep the integrity of that ingredient.
So the challenge there is then you're solving one problem and creating another, and
yes.
you're kind of chasing
these gremlins forever. Yes, and you're spending a lot of money on like developing new products, and we should have started with one or two, and I think that would have been more ideal. And even just the marketing on each product.
Yeah.
They all have different purposes, and
they all have different campaigns yes. to go with them and all these different things. And
everyone comes to you with opinions. Like when you own your own company, everyone has the idea that's going to every day, all day. Hey, you should do this. Do you know you should make an eye cream? Hey, do you know that you should? And you're like, okay, thanks.
Yeah, that sounds really easy.
Yeah, that sounds great. Let me just go do that real quick.
Do it.
Yes.
So no, I could totally see that. So then you went the complete opposite direction because you make one thing.
One thing. But I will say we are right now working on our second product for Wash Yourself.
But you're 3 years in.
But I'm 3 years in. So. And finally the knowledge and what we see and what's selling, and it's still wipes. It's just more of like in the baby, like it's in the same size and the same ingredients. It's like where you can pull 10 out.
Yeah.
Of the package that the kids can put it in their lockers a little easier. Because some people like the individuals to carry around in their bags, and some want something just to stick in their lockers. So we'll have both of those products. Same products, just packaged a little bit different. And with the 10 packs, it brings our cost down a lot.
Yeah.
And so hopefully people will get more bang for their buck with that. And then they can get the individually wrapped as well. So yeah.
Well, and you keep referencing school with your product, but it has a lot more applications in there.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, so many more. Yeah.
We used it in the mountains in Colorado. Yeah. And we were up there for a couple of days last year.
Yes. It's a lot more. I go back to school because that's why I invented it. And that solved that problem. But like people after surgery, Tammany even told me to stick it in the microwave, like out of the package, because it has metal on it and it'll blow up if you don't take it out of the package. But out of the package, put the wipe in the microwave for 10 seconds. It doesn't dry it up and it's like a warm bath. And so she's helped us with that idea. We've used that for some of our marketing. People love it. So like anything from like you can put it in a cooler for between baseball games to have a cleanup and a wipe down. It helps with the acne, the camping after surgery where you can't shower. People have sent it to homeless shelters and old folks' homes. And so it's really cool.
I used it after surgery.
Did you?
Yeah, I couldn't shower.
Yeah.
I had a fully reconstructed foot.
And now you're all clean.
Clean. I didn't really move around a bunch, but eventually you get a little funk on your
right.
Eye. So So really you're not bringing out a new product as much as you're just bringing out a different,
super easy packaging,
the different packaging. Right.
I mean, literally only having to decide on like, what top do you want? Do you want the type that flips open? Nope. Cause those dry up. Oh, mm-hmm. But do we want them to dry up? Are they going to order more? No, I don't. I still want to be a good mom. Like, you know, let's do the nicer tops. So that's about it. I run it all.
You run the warehouse.
I do.
You run the distribution.
I do. I run it all. My sister Katie is really good at IT stuff. So between her hospital stays, she does 24-hour shifts at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So when she can get away in her call room every now and then, she will, if I need help with something IT, she's like a TAM. She fixes it real quick for me, and then I can continue on my day. So she'll set up anything. Like we just launched a TikTok store, and she did all the behind the scenes on that.
Okay.
Yeah. So she'll do those stuff, and she set up our website for us too.
Yeah.
So she's IT.
Okay. So Wash Yourself, expanding into different packaging, keeping
That's
it very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I learned a lot.
All right. Well. So. Do you have any plans for any other products, or is that really just going to be about it?
That's it for now. Like, never say never, but I enjoy the fact that it's one product, easy to market. I can order 500,000 wipes at a time and get my costs down, and I can sell them for actual profit than ordering 500 at a time.
Yeah.
So it's many reasons why you start with one product. But as we grow and get into some more retail stores, or get into retail stores, we're in just like gyms and stuff around the area.
Yeah.
If that's the path we take, it hasn't worked out to be profitable when we run the numbers yet.
Is that because the retailers just take?
They do. They so take much. A lot, and you have to like rent shelf space for some of them, and it's just
whether
it's
you're higher or lower,
yes.
End cap.
And they're closing a lot of them down, and they're changing their rules and regulations. So, we've run a few numbers. We looked at Target and then we decided you would go into those retail stores if you want people to find out about you, but there's other ways for people to find out about you.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a loss leader.
Yes.
Essentially.
100%.
So
for my size of a company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not for like potato chips out there.
So, okay. Well, so you kind of do everything.
I
you
try.
You kind of do it all. You know, you're momming, you're businessing, you're doing all the stuff.
Yes.
You're very consistent on social media, which is very hard to do.
That is hard to do.
It's
I'm glad you realized that. That is really hard.
It is really hard.
I actually have to write a list every single day of my goals that I want to accomplish. And then I go by and check it off. And at the end of each day, it's like, post on TikTok, post. I'm like, oh, there's always a few that I forget.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's, you know, we try to use Twitter is probably the best thing for what we do.
I agree.
And the challenge with Twitter, you know, Isabella runs all of our social media stuff.
But it's a lot of work, right, Isabella?
It's a lot. You know, it's kind of like a space that no one gives credit to. Like
no.
In a business, there's not a line item on a P&L for, you know, social media.
No, there's not. That's a good point.
And what's interesting about it too, though, is like, it's like literally the ability to have your own network.
Yes.
You know,
a brand.
It's your own brand, uh-huh. It's your own network. And then, but no one puts in, it's very funny in the commercial real estate space. Like it is, I'd say you're probably in the first inning in the first batter of social media. Just
yeah.
People just don't use it.
Yeah.
Commercial real estate's very slow to change. So we try to utilize it. But like, I mean, it's a time thing too, though.
It is a time commitment and it's hard to see results until you're consistent. But when you have so many other things that need your attention, sometimes it's hard to be consistent.
Well, I always struggle with taking the time to do the thing I know makes me money right now versus
yes.
doing the thing that is that building the omnipresence and the brand
yeah.
and all those things.
That's funny that you say that because my dad always gave me that advice. He was like, you can't just always work in your company. You have to work on your company.
Yeah.
So you have to do time blocks and set a percentage of the day to work on your company. And then the rest of the time you can work in your company.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I get that 100%. It's hard because it's like I'm finally starting to see some payoff from the social media aspect of it.
Yeah, it's worked out for us. We've raised money because people hear what we do or
yeah.
find what we do and they call us and then they want to invest with us or, you know, stuff like that. So that's been a great aspect of it. I think the big thing we try to use it for is, you know, we have a very small audience to a degree of what we're trying to sell ourselves
that, yeah.
to. And that's really just real estate brokers to bring us assets to buy.
Right.
So we try to market to those and then capital is really not in social media. Now, I will say this, people will be like, man, I see, you know, you bought this building, you bought this building, you bought this building, you bought this building. You know what I mean? And then people
yes.
will eventually ask, like, can people invest with you? I'm like, well, yeah, sure. You just got to ask.
Right.
I don't like to go, you know, that's kind of more in the, I'd call it the circle of friends type thing. And I'm like,
yeah.
well, I don't really go out and, you
and
know,
fine.
And try
mean,
to raise
sense.
Money with my friends. You know, I raise money with different people, but.
But it
know.
Ends up helping both.
Yeah. Well, what it does too, though, is it just, you know, they're like, okay, man, I've seen you, like, this is what you do, like, on a really regular basis. So
yes. And it keeps it in their heads, too. So if they're in a conversation one day and their friends are talking and they'll say, I'm looking to getting into this field or investing in here. And they'll say, oh, my friend Jeremy, because you're posting every day and
yeah.
you're the first thing that they think of.
You're front of mind.
Yes. And that's important. That's hard to get a ROI on.
It
on
is.
A textbook.
Right. That's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
No, so the same thing with like us raising money. I can't pitch it any better than when someone goes, hey, you need to talk to me.
Yeah.
I do this with him. You need to talk to him.
Yeah.
Like it's already done at that point. Right.
Right.
I just have to go through
they're looking for someone and you have word of mouth by someone that says, I have a guy. Yeah. I trust him. I've worked with him before. Here's his number. And then that's that.
So what, the other thing I think social media does is just it gives you the ability to be places you can't physically be and develop
yes.
the know, like, and trust factor with people.
Yes.
Because you're constantly there, right?
Yes.
So, and you know, you do a great job of like the whole aspect of your life. You know, you're kind of, I would call it, you're like documenting.
Yes. Well, they do say 80-20. Have you heard that before?
No.
It's not just for eating in the kitchen on a diet. It's because I've heard in that rule, right? Yeah. 80 time healthy, 20. They say you should only sell 20% of the time or it turns people off. So the other 80% of the time you need to like be vulnerable and open up. And that's hard.
Yeah.
It is hard because it's easy to just put out there like I have this building, you know, or I have this product.
Well, that's easy because she probably does it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes. Isabella probably is the one putting that out.
It's true.
You know, it's the personal type stuff. Like it's hard for me to do.
It's hard and you're going to get people saying things or looking at you differently and it's uncomfortable at first, but as long as you just stay real to you.
Well, and then for us, like I said, Twitter is a very big space. Twitter is not something that Isabella can do for me because Twitter is such a year-driven personality, right?
Yes.
Like you have to be in there engaging, getting in with people, talking to them, having very critical opinions, having, you know, it's
controversial opinions.
Yeah. You know, or, you know, and it just takes time. And it's like, you know, I've tried to be consistent about it, but I'm terrible about it. But we just get busy and it's like, you know, so
you have to make it, you're good with goals. Your monthly goal?
You know, I think the most consistent thing that we've done lately is the podcast. And I think that has been that the good thing about that is that for us is that people listen to it.
And, yeah. Well, you find your niche and you find what you like and you find what's authentic.
Well, it's easy for me to do this. I don't know. You can ask my wife. My grammar's terrible. So writing something, writing is not my strong suit. I can talk to you. I can't write you a letter. I write you an email and you'll be like, did this guy get past third grade?
You know, it's funny you say that because I'm the same way. And I don't realize my typos until somebody points them out and they love pointing them out.
Yeah.
And then B, I reread it with fresh eyes like 4 hours later.
Yeah.
Like, oh, gosh. They're everywhere. And sometimes I'll like correct them or call myself out. And other times I'm like, well, the store is going to go away in 3 hours. So I'm good.
Yeah. No, it's a lot. And so I know that takes you a lot of time. So let's talk about that then. Then you got to have, you kind of touched on this, but you got to have kind of a habit and a routine daily to kind of keep up with all of this. What is that?
Okay. Well, I'm a big old school calendar list writer taker.
Manual calendar.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
I have both.
Analog calendar.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
I do. And on that calendar of the kids' activities and things, I can see how busy my day is going to be. So if I have to do something, a task for business oriented that's going to take longer, I can plan around my kids' activities that way because it's all in the same space. But yeah, I have daily goals. And this month, we just launched on TikTok, so I have to post a video. It doesn't even have to be very good. I just have to post something every single day for a solid month to gain traction on it because it's brand new. So we started with like 30 views and now we're up to 200 views. I mean, that's nothing. Like you would want to just quit because we do something like a story on one of my personal pages and there's thousands of views.
Yeah.
And here I have 35.
Yeah.
But I can't because in a month from now, that's probably going to be our biggest platform. And so I have to just make sure every single day I post. So my goals vary for the day. Right now, that's my biggest focus. It was Amazon and trying to get Amazon sales and reviews. We got that. It's Amazon selling itself. Now we have a new platform that I need to focus on.
I thought they were getting rid of TikTok.
I heard that, but I was talking the other day and some politics the other day. And they were saying that they probably aren't going to fully get rid of it, that they are going to like, make the someone's going to buy out or make an American one or transfer the data over. They're working on something. I don't know. They were saying that there's no way TikTok will go away, but that is in the back of my head. So what I'm doing with the TikTok platform is not spending any outside money on it. I'm doing it all myself.
Yeah.
Because if it disappears, I'd be so upset if I spent
money and just
poof. On something that just disappears. I'd be fine with it going away, honestly.
Do you know in China, TikTok like shuts off at 10 o'clock at night and it only shows like
educational
and positive things.
100%. All of us.
They let the USA just run wild.
Yes. I got in a TikTok issue and I was trying to get a video taken down.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And they didn't, they were like, we can't even get, you might have to take this out because I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but they were, I was meeting with politicians and they're like, we can't even take child porn off here. We have no authority. So I could see why they would want to get rid of it when they can't take all this bad stuff off of it. That's like that. Like, yeah. How can they help someone like me that has a small issue?
So, okay. There's the bad to social media.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You experienced this.
I think there's more bad than good, to be honest.
Do you want
to
talk about this?
I can talk about it.
Okay. You totally got wrongfully accused of something.
I did.
On TikTok. Social media. Yeah. It started on TikTok. I thought it was the Instagram.
No. It was all on TikTok. All of it was on TikTok. It was
all on TikTok.
And they couldn't take it down.
They couldn't take it down.
I had politicians call me. Then they wanted to know if I would be like a face for it and speak up against it.
What happened?
What happened? Okay, what happened? A year ago this week.
Yeah.
I can tell you I hadn't slept for like 3 days because I kept checking to make sure that they weren't going to attack my companies again. Because it was a year anniversary, so I was afraid it would resurface. It did not. But a year ago, I was at the Country Music Awards, CMAs.
Yep.
And my friend asked me I had tickets to go with Kyle, my husband, and my friend last minute said, hey, I have these awesome floor seats. Do you want to go? And I'm like, I'd love to go. She's like, my husband can sit with yours because I don't want to stand and we can stand and enjoy the show. And I'm like, sure. So we kind of ticket flopped instead of being couple. We were girls, boys. Okay. Right? So I'm on the floor. So it was like one of those last minute type deals in the first place. So I'm on the floor of the ticket area. And they're closing it off because the show's about to begin. And as the show is going on, this one 18-year-old, and I know she's 18 from everything.
Yeah.
I didn't know it at the time, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And so she shows up and she gets in our section, but she doesn't have a ticket. Well, the girl that I was with was actually pretty sweet about it. And they're like, y'all, I have 5 kids. Let her get her pictures and let her get out and whatever. Well, she was already acting weird at the beginning, like bumping into people. Kind of trying to record what's happening, like our reactions when she would bump into us. Well, after about 5 minutes, these ladies behind her, there's a scuffle going on. Security completely removes this girl. She has no ticket. She was trying to start fight. She wasn't supposed to be there. She was completely removed. So I never spoke one word to this girl. The show's going on. It's fine. I see the same girl getting removed from another section about 45 minutes later.
Oh, so she went to another section.
She went to another section and she was getting removed. And when I looked up and I'm watching as she's standing there, she's filming us as she's going by. And she's standing there for about a half a second. And I look at my friend and I say, is that the same chick? Because I was confused, you know?
Yeah.
And she said, yes. And that was it. And then we start watching the concert. And I actually felt kind of bad for her at the time. Like she was young and she's getting taken out by security for the second time. But she had no ticket and she was causing fights. So she was taken out. So then everything's fine. We go home. We have a nice night. I actually run into one of my high school friends that night. Like, it was just so fun.
Yeah.
We go home. And then the very next day I'm driving and my phone's going off and I'm being called every name in the book. I'm a racist and a bully. And whenever they love them, I'm a Karen big time, they're saying.
Yeah.
I'm everything. They hope I die of cancer. They hope my kids die. My kids are ugly. They're on their way to my house right now. I'm like, what is happening? So I look it up and I pull over and I look up and it's spamming and it's like saying, open this video. And I'm thinking I got hacked because I'm like, not going to open the video.
Yeah.
So confused. And then my sister-in-law calls me. She's like, Monica, there's a video of you out there and it's bad. I'm like, I didn't do anything. She's like, did you get in a fight with? I'm like, no. Well, this girl that was removed goes on crying to the camera and saying that we attacked her, showing us this. Never spoke with her. She had 300,000 followers, so she was making content. She was saying she was pressing charges and that she was attacked and beat up by us. You can't see me in it besides saying, is that the same girl when she's far away? That's it. Of course, she puts that in there. I wish I never even said anything. Yeah. But I didn't know.
Yeah, who knows?
This really upset me because I'm like, there's no way anybody believes this.
Yeah.
Like someone crying on camera, like her last big post that went viral was one of those type of baits as well.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, there's no way. Well, since I am a Karen and she was not.
Yeah.
This guy picks it up that likes to go after Karens, and he started his entire podcast or his entire platform on getting people fired that didn't get vaccinated years ago. That was his entire platform. So
he sounds like a great guy.
Yeah.
Tell more.
Mm-hmm. So he would call them all out. He's been on the Dr. Phil show.
He has.
People that were in my situation committed suicide because you get attacked like nonstop.
Yeah.
So I look on the page. He has my address, my phone number, my everything on his page, like saying this person attacked this person.
And he has like a million followers.
Oh, almost 2 million now. Yeah. So my kids are being called. My companies both got shut down for a few days. The reviews on Amazon were going terrible. They came after me like a project. And it was 3 solid months, nonstop. Anyone that was friends with me, like I just spent the next 48 hours just shutting everything down. Anyone that, a cancer society that I was working with, they attacked them. My friend's son lost my friend Brooke died of cancer a few years ago, and her son is really good friends with mine. And they got on his page saying, your mom died because her friend is a racist, this and that. Like, anyone that had anything to do with me, they came after. And I think what hurt the most is they put it up on that Prosper Mom page. Yeah. And then I went and said that I didn't do it, and they wouldn't take it down. And then so it was in the community. And that one hurt the most.
I remember that. I thought that was pretty shitty.
I think it was. It was really bad. But here's the update on all that. She's taken it off her page.
Okay.
I think she might have had like a coming to Jesus or something, but it's completely off her page, but it's still on this guy's page. And he has publicly written on there that we didn't have anything to do with it, but he put that on his Instagram page that nobody sees, but didn't do it on his other page.
So what can you really do in that situation?
You can't do anything because it's TikTok.
Okay, so no lawyer would touch that for defamation.
No, we talked to 7 or 8 different lawyers. They said the best thing for you to do is put your head down and just try to get through it. So that's what we did for like 3 months. It was terrible. I mean, they went after everybody. And I kept having to tell my story over and over to these strangers, you know, that I was just like, I mean, and I still have them all screenshot and saved.
Yeah.
Just for one day. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. One day.
So that's the bad of social media.
It was terrible. It outweighs the good. So that's why I said, like, if they get rid of TikTok, that's why. I had a TikTok store for Wash. So first of all, I got kicked off of TikTok for my personal page, which was fine. I had nothing posted. I just had to spy on my kids.
Yeah.
So they kicked me off of that. And then I private my Wash Yourself page real quick because they were attacking that. And I had a lot of kids on there that would post for me.
Yeah.
And they were really horrible to these kids. And so I was like, I took that down. Yeah. I took down all my other social medias and made it really quiet for a while because I couldn't handle it, but I could handle it knowing that it was just me and not the kids.
Yeah.
So I had to close down everything. So that's why we're slowly starting TikTok again. Like I posted one thing like 3 months ago and just watched.
Yeah.
Then posted something else to see if they're out there. But like if they did their homework or looked or even watched the video, like it's all podged.
Well, I mean, isn't that the point of all those people? They don't care about the facts.
No.
They're not there. They're not truth seekers.
No. And that's what he claims to be.
Yeah. Yeah, he's over there doing the Lord's work, right?
Yeah,
that's what he's doing.
He's helping Karens get their own. I'm like, oh my God, I'm a Karen now.
Well,
yeah,
you are a 40s
white
suburban
mom.
Stop
talking. Make him stop talking.
No, I know.
That's awesome.
Okay, so out of all these things, what's the most rewarding thing you do?
A mom.
Okay, number one.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. What's number two?
I don't really know. I mean, obviously the wife and all that good stuff.
Okay, good.
But a mom by far.
I'm really starting to feel bad for Kyle there for that long pause.
Don't feel bad for him. He's just fine.
Yeah.
No, a mom definitely number one. Like family. Like that all goes into it. Like the family is number one. I'm really enjoying the Wash Yourself aspect of it now. I like the fact that I did that. You know what I mean? Like, that's a good feeling. And honestly, that's it. Like, mom, being a business owner, and family.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
What, what's your favorite book?
Don't ask that.
Why?
Because then the people will find out I really don't read that much.
That's okay. Just say you don't read. No, I've had numerous people say that. Just look at me, I don't read.
My favorite one.
I read the news this morning. Yeah,
that's true. No, I was in a book club for a while. I just would get behind. But
my wife's in two.
Yeah? What's your favorite book?
Oh, I just read Remarkably Bright Creatures.
Was it good?
It was great.
See? No, my favorite one has been like, and I'm, you might have read it. It's been like, I read it like 3 years ago and I'm going blank on the actual title, but it's a World War II book with the two sisters.
The Nightingale?
Yes. There you go. I knew she would. The Nightingale. It just reminded me a lot of my grandfather's stories that he would tell because he was shot down during World War II and he went, like, Germany occupied France and had to travel, and that was in the book. So like his stories match this historical fiction type. Yeah. And I just felt like I could see him doing all of it. So it was pretty cool.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell your younger self?
Eat the chocolate. don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's fine.
What would I tell my, I don't know. I would say, because I'd be afraid that if I told her anything, she wouldn't be where she is today. And she needs to be where she is today.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't tell her anything. Just enjoy the ride.
Maybe if you see someone bumping into people and then taking pictures of it immediately, just doing about face.
Look, I would say just not go to the AMC that year or ACMs that year. Yes, that's what I would tell myself.
Sit in the stands.
Yes.
Just stay in the stands. Don't do the ticket swap.
don't do the ticket swap.
Yeah. Okay. What's something that no one knows about you that's unique that most people don't know? Not that I'm not asking for some deep, dark secret, no. But like, what's something like unique about you that most people don't know?
I don't know. I feel like I share it all today. Like I told everybody about September 11th and the time I was bullied on TikTok. she's saying that I used to sing, but that like, if
you used to sing,
but long Hold time on ago, a minute. It's terrible now because I'll grab Jerry's microphone and I'll screech yelling, but I was good. And we traveled and we
hold on.
Yeah.
Time periods. When were you a singer?
This was all high school. Okay. This was high school days. So this is like pre-pregnancy hormones and 25 years ago.
Okay.
But I did. I was okay. I wasn't that bad.
So you traveled, were you in school choir?
I was in the school choir. We sang in Carnegie Hall in New York City. Cool. We sang in Colorado. We won all of that. And we took a ski trip out of it. We won every single competition we ever entered.
Wow.
It was fun. It was a little show choir.
So you just after choir though, you just kind of sang in the shower at that point?
I don't know what happened. I probably didn't sing for years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just faded away.
Yeah. And then now every time I open my mouth, I'm like, whoa. Where'd that go?
Now
my kids, I think maybe I'm just more comfortable with them. And so I'll put a song on and sing. And they say it sounds good.
Yeah.
But I would never grab a mic and sing unless I was in your studio and overserved.
Well, that happens.
And it never sounds good.
That happens. I think last time y'all came over, Kyle. Yep. Made it out in the parking lot somewhere.
Yep. yep. He was Jeremy.
Yeah. So, well, cool. Well, Monica, it's been great story today. Thank you for always being my one of my number one fans.
I am.
I appreciate that.
I am. Always will be.
Yeah.
As long as you treat this one right, I'm good.
Yeah. That's, it's about all I got in this world, her and the kids. So yeah. The rest of it's, irrelevant.
I 100% agree with that.
So, but thank you for coming on today.
That's
a very interesting story.
The TikTok one.
We love you. So,
love you more. Thanks, TikTok.
Be careful, TikTok people.
Right.
All right.
Thanks, Jeremy. Monica.